I'd like you right now, just for a moment, to stop and think about a purchase that you've made recently. Think of something you've purchased, a major purchase maybe. Did you buy it because it was need, really? Or was it more because you really wanted it? And then it became a need. You began to justify it as a need. What really has motivated you? See, when I think about the things that I've done, I can see that there are certainly necessities that I purchase, but the purchases that I'm actively involved in are where my want has been stirred up. And I didn't know there was a want before. So I want you to really think about, what was a time when you really wanted something, but you didn't follow through? And I would say to you that the difference here is, you had reasons to buy emotionally, but you couldn't justify it logically. Let me give you what I think the selling process looks like then. I think it looks like this, that whether we buy or not comes down to this. If we've got ourselves a little weighing device, a teeter-totter, if you will, I'm saying that what's happening all the time, we're measuring. If we're getting motivated, we're now, let's say, fairly motivated to buy, and we've got a lot of reasons to buy. What I call emotional reasons to buy is we want to get people not only emotional reasons to buy, but emotional reasons to buy now. You might want to call that urban. What I'm looking for when I want to sell someone is I want to find out, what are the emotional reasons why they should buy right now? That's the first thing I'm digging for. And I will tell you, the emotional reasons to buy now is I'm looking for a want, and I'm looking for the hurt in it. I want to make sure that they feel that. I want to put a boulder on their decision-making process. So they have this big, giant boulder here as reasons to buy. So they're motivated. I want to get them stirred up. Now, they're weighing that against something I call dominant reasons to avoid buying. We call it drab, urban and drab here, which are usually fears. And the fear is that if I buy, it's going to mean pain. You know, it's going to mean hardship for me financially. Or if I buy, maybe it's not worth it. Or if I buy, maybe it doesn't really produce the result that was promised me. Or if I buy, what if other people judge me for buying this? And they think I'm being extravagant, or they think I'm being dumb, or they think, you know, whatever they think, but I'll be rejected because of it. Or what if I buy, but I don't really need it now? So what's happening is, people have certain fears, and what's going to determine which thing they do, whether you buy or whether you not buy, is going to be based simply on one thing. If we have, let's say, a scale here, and up here is buy, down here is not buy, what's going to happen is we need to make sure that we stack this side. We got to give people enough reasons to buy, but again, the reasons need to be emotional, and they need to be their reasons, not yours. And that's the common challenge that most salespeople have. Most salespeople, what we do is we try and sell what we love about our product, instead of finding out what this person would really love about a product. Now, oftentimes what happens is we're in a balancing act called indecision. Have you ever been there? It's like, God, you really want something, but you got these fears, and what you are is you're right here in the middle. You know, you can't, they're kind of balanced out of each other. The way to handle this is twofold. The way to kick somebody over the edge, and I hope you'll remember this because this is the foundation of effective selling and closing. If somebody's on the edge and you've got a certain amount of want, you know, and you've got a certain amount of concerns, what you've got to do is you've got to put this thing in the kilter. And the quickest way to do that is not to give people necessarily more information, but to actually create more hurt. And what I mean by creating more hurt is ask them questions, like this gentleman did with me with my 750IL. Ask them questions that you know, based on their beliefs and values, will kick them over the edge. See, when he said to me, hey, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, but from what I know about you and what you've told me, driving something you think is second best is not going to make you feel the way you want to feel, and it's not worth a few extra dollars, is it? What he did is he made this boulder. By making it hurt, he made it heavier and immediately started to drop down. This goes up, and I bought. Does that make sense to you? The second thing then is, if you've done a lot of that and it still isn't happening, you've got to add something else. And the something else is you've got to add another boulder, which is the logical reasons to buy now, called Lurbin, L-R-B-N. So we've got urban, lurbin, and drab. Now what we're talking about here is we've got to have some logical reasons. And notice that can be a smaller boulder. This thing can be on the edge where all you do is add a little bit of logic, and that's just enough to all of a sudden kick it over the balance point where that person shoots up and now they buy. And that's how I see selling happening. So in order for somebody to buy, in your notes, the thing they need is, they need a great deal of want or hurt. And again, hurt is not negative. Stirring up the hurt is not negative. The United States of America is here because we got motivated. Because somebody did something that we felt hurt about. We felt hurt enough that we did something about it. We didn't just sit on our tails and say, well, keep on doing that. Taxation without representation is fine with us. We got upset. We got a little disturbed. We got motivated, and it changed our behavior. We got persuaded to change by the environment itself. So make sure that you have hold hurt in a positive way. Okay? Because what you get to be, your job is a healer of hurt. The hurt is always there. For you to feel it, it's already there. You've just covered it up, put a scab over it, pretend it wasn't there. And if we had no, if all our needs were the normal needs of survival and we didn't go for wants, how dynamic would you be as a person in your desire to grow? If all you did was survive. Maybe you've been there. I've been there at one time in my life. I don't want to go back there. I want to have wants, the wants to make a difference in people's lives, the wants to know that my life has some kind of meaning, the wants to know that people care about me and I care about them, the wants to be able to play, the wants to succeed, the wants to have things in economics be great, the wants to have total freedom and choice. I want those wants to drive me to become somebody even more. See, in the pursuit of all these wants, I have to become more of a person, a better person, I believe, in order to achieve what I want. So I think stimulating wants and creating a little hurt is good motivation. I think if somebody's overweight and you care about them, your job should be to be a good persuader. And a persuader is not to nag them, and a persuader is not to tell them. It is to get them to want to change for their reasons, to ask them questions, find a wound in there, and stir it up elegantly, nicely, respectfully, till they're motivated, and then give them a plan. Say, here's what you could do to change. That's persuasion. Now, this process then of adding logic, all you've got to do is give them more information in this case. More info will kick them over the edge. Rarely is this what's needed. What usually is needed is more hurt. So again, what people need to buy is, number one, they have to have lots of want. And if you're trying to close somebody without a deep amount of want or a lot of hurt, you're going to have a hard time closing them. You're going to have to take out all those old sales skills, you know, they teach from way back when, that they still teach out there if you go to standard sales classes, and you're going to have to learn how to do Ben Franklin's, and you're going to have to learn to say, well, sir, I know you feel that way. And, you know, there was a story about the patent office. And any of you have some sales background know what I'm referring to. They're tried, untrue stories that are burnt out to try and push people into a sale. That's garbage. What's real is, let's find out their deepest needs. Let's get them to experience wanting it even more. Let's help them to justify it. Let's kick them over the edge so they get to have a quality product that really meets their needs. All this presupposes that you obviously qualify your client. And we're going to talk about that when we take this gathering of information I've been dumping on your brain, and we're going to chunk it down into 10 steps. But before we do that, I want you to really get the foundation of it. So what have we talked about? We've talked about selling as motivation. We've talked about that people don't buy products. They buy states. I mean, think about it. I see some people in this audience, you know, wearing Rolex watches. Why would somebody spend $9,000 on a watch? It's obvious, right? It's because they're durable. You know? You didn't do it because you needed a $9,000 watch. You did it because you wanted. Now, I'm using extreme examples because they're the easiest ones to notice. What we got to realize is that whatever we associate to things, that's what's going to determine our behavior. And if people are not behaving the way that we're trying to influence them, we've got to change what they link, change what they associate to our product. But I want you to understand the process. The process is load up, find enough emotional reasons, stir it up and make it real, add some logic, and push them through the edge so that the reasons for avoiding buying get literally catapulted off the scale. So that now you and the prospect are there together sharing in the process of a successful sale. So here's an exercise I want you to do. I'd like you, if you would, to write down three purchases you've made recently. Three purchases. And I want you to make a note, how big was your want? What really made you buy? See if what I'm saying is true. See if I'm just making this up or I got some weird ideas. Let's see if it's real. Was it want that pushed you over the edge and logic? What did it for you? I just want you to analyze. Did you have enough want, enough logic? Is what I said true? Or was it something else? So that's the first exercise. The second thing we want you to do is I want you to think of a time when you had a strong want, but you still didn't buy. And I want you to describe in all three of those, come up with three of those also, three times when you had a strong want, but you didn't buy. You didn't get kicked over the edge. And I want you to take a look at it and see, was it because you didn't hurt enough, like it wasn't a strong enough want? Or was it because you just didn't find enough ways to justify it? Or is it something else? I think you're going to find it's those two. And here's your third exercise, and I think you'll have fun with this. I want you to pick one of those situations where you did not buy and analyze what it was that made you not buy. And I want you to pretend you're the salesperson, and what would you have done to sell yourself? If you were on the other side, knowing what you know now, what would you do? Would you have asked a question that stirred up more hurt? Would you have added some logic? What would you have done to kick them over the edge? So I want you to play with urban, lurban, and drab. Emotional reasons to buy now, logical reasons to buy now, and how you can catapult the dominant reasons that people avoid buying right off the scale so there isn't an objection there anymore. If you do this effectively, You will not find yourself at the end trying to push somebody into the sale. Because I got news for you. Those of you who raised your hand at the beginning of this particular talk when I talked about, would you like a Mercedes? How tough a sale would you be walking into a place like that? And so I'm going to have to come in and go, I know this is a tough decision for you. So I'll help you. You know, there was once this great American who had to make tough decisions just like you. His name was Benjamin Franklin. And you know what Ben did when he wanted to buy a Mercedes? Old Ben would draw a line down a piece of paper. And he'd write on this reason all the reasons why he should do something. And on this side, all the reasons why he shouldn't do something. And then he'd count up the difference, and the one that had the most was the decision he made. Doesn't that make sense? I got to tell you something. If you're still using that, I apologize. I apologize that we as sales trainers have not, as a group, made a greater advance. That was written back in the 1930s. And it's purely based on logic. If you have plenty of hurt and you need some logic, then I guess that's a useful close. You know, someone making a logical difference. And of course, the way they do it, if you'll remember, is they draw a thing and they say, here's all the reasons why you should buy. And here's all the reasons why you should not buy. And you help them get about 50 reasons over here, and you go on this side and you go, you're on your own, babe. And then you come to the end and go, well, there's 50 here, there's only one here. I guess the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? The only problem with this is it leaves out something that's critical, and that is, again, write this down. People buy for emotional reasons, and they justify with logic. People do not buy for logical reasons. People buy for emotional reasons, and they justify with logic. Now you may say, Tony, oh, come on, you know, I sell to corporations. I sell a computer system, you know, multi-million dollar computer system. And, you know, they don't buy for emotional reasons. I'm here to tell you that they do. I did some work for McDonnell Douglas for their computer division where they sell the huge, great computers. What we're talking about, to be specific, are a multi-million dollar purchase of a particular computer. And in going in and selling that process, a lot of the guys, immediately when I started talking about, you know, getting emotional reasons to buy now, they said, look, there is no emotion in this at all. I'm here to tell you that the emotion is hidden, but it is there. That, for example, if you're going in to sell a computer or, say, a copier, that people are going to buy for different reasons. Some people will buy because what they want is the best. Some people buy because they want friendship. They buy the product because they want to be in a relationship with you. Some people buy because the emotion that they really want is they want to be intelligent. And those are the people you think have no emotion. But the emotion is they have to feel intelligent. If they don't, they're really in pain. They want to know they're making the right choice. Then some people, of course, will make a purchase because they want confidence, because they think, God, if they'll do this, they'll be more successful. Some people make a purchase because it's about survival for them. But what I want you to know is whatever decisions they make, they are emotional, and that they justify them with logic. And that what you want to do is you want to dig for that emotion. You want to find it and disturb it. You want to become a master of the Dickens pattern. You want to become a person who can find people's needs, stir them up and stir up their emotions, get them disturbed, disturb them. And the way to do it is ask questions. You can do it easily with questions. If I turned to you right now and said, what's the most screwed up thing in your life? What are you really upset about? If I ask that enough and I've got rapport, you'll probably answer me. But you know what's nice? I could also ask you, what's the best thing in your life right now? And if you're in a bad state, you might say nothing. I say, well, what could you say is great? You'll think of that also. We can control what people focus on, therefore what they feel, just by the questions we ask. And so we're going to show you how to do that, but let's go to our exercise. One, make a list of three products you've bought recently and find out, what made you buy? How much want did you have? How much logic? How much urban? How much lurban? And what was the dominant reasons you were going to avoid buying that got catapulted out when you weighed them? Okay, and it wasn't an intellectual weighing. It was a momentary, in a moment, you made a decision. And secondly, think of a situation where you didn't buy and see why. And then thirdly, let's see in that situation, how could you kick yourself over the edge? And then come back, and then we're going to show how to get people to make those associations, how to get them to link to your product the feelings you really want them to have, so they're totally motivated to buy your product now.
Okay, so before we go forward, I want to make sure that you absolutely understand the assignment and it's crystal clear. So first, number one was to remember something that you wanted, you really wanted, and you bought it, and the reason why you bought it, what made you buy it in that moment. And number two was something that you really wanted, but you didn't buy it, and of course, why you didn't buy it, what made you not buy it. in that same situation that you didn't buy what you wanted and you really wanted to have, what would have kicked you over the edge and gotten you to buy it right then and there? So let me give you a perfect example. I remember not too long ago, as a matter of fact, about 4 years ago, for no reason at all, I was walking down the street and there was a motorcycle shop, a Harley-Davidson shop. And for some reason, I walked in there, I was just interested, and I didn't need to buy a motorcycle and didn't even think about buying a motorcycle. But I walked in there and there it was, looking at me. It was almost calling my name, just glistening with chrome. And, you know, it wasn't running, it was just sitting there. And I remember looking at it and going, oh my goodness, look at that unbelievable thing. And then I started looking at it, and I remember feeling myself, I hadn't sat on the bike, but feeling myself sitting on the bike and what it'd be like. And I thought about throwing a leg over the thing and sitting down on it. And guess what? I did. I sat down on it and I imagined myself in the wind, you know, just going down the road at 80 miles an hour. And in that moment, of course, the salesperson saw me sitting on the motorcycle, and he was a very, very smart person. He came over and he said, how does that feel? And I said, unbelievable. And he said, well, listen, let me share with you about this bike. He says, you know, whether you ride fast and hard or you're just a cruiser, whatever it is, you're going to get the most unbelievable feeling. And he said something at the time. He goes, listen, have you ridden before? And I go, well, yeah. And he goes, remember what it was like? And that was it. At that point, it was over. And remember, I didn't need to buy a motorcycle at that point. And you know what? The cost was not an issue. Even though it was a lot of money, I found a way to make it happen. It was so funny because as I was driving home, I had to leave the bike there because I was in my car. As I was driving home, something made me go, why did you buy that thing? And as soon as I thought that, I got, well, because of the way it's going to feel. And the reason why I bought it was because I put myself on the thing and I had the feeling. Now, the second thing was, remember the second assignment, and that was something that you really wanted to buy, but you didn't buy. And what were your reasons why you didn't buy it? And for me, I was a musician a long time ago, and I remember years ago, I walked into a store again, and I saw a beautiful bass guitar. I love to play bass guitar. And there it was, you know, hanging on the wall. It was beautiful, glistening. And by the way, if you haven't figured that out, for me, if I see something and it's glistening, that really gets my attention. And there it was glistening. And I literally looked at it and I thought, I would love to have that. That would be great. And the salesperson saw me looking at it and came up and started talking about it and telling me about the features of the bass and telling me how it was made and all of that stuff. And I remember in my brain, I was going, well, you know what? I don't really need this right now. I've got another bass. And although this is nice and those are great features, I probably won't use them. And I remember talking to myself inside, and I literally talked myself out of it. And that's the reason I didn't buy, because it wasn't logical. But if you think about it, was it really because it wasn't logical? You know, the motorcycle wasn't logical either. Honestly, it was less logical. But the reality was, I talked myself out of it because I was just looking at it and looking at the features. But when I think about the third part of the assignment is, in the same situation, what would have made me buy, honestly, is if I'd have taken it down off the wall and played it. If I'd actually felt it. If I'd have taken it down and got the feeling of that guitar and got it inside me, and then imagine myself playing it later on, then that is what would have made me buy it. That would have overridden anything, because it would have instantly associated me to the emotional reasons why I wanted to do it. And logic would have gone out the door. So listen, here's what we're going to do. Shut the recording off, and I want you to go back, and now's the time to do the assignment and really get associated. Really get your reasons why, because it's going to teach you something about you, and better yet, it's going to help you understand other people as well. Hey, great job and welcome back. I hope you had as much fun with this assignment as I did, and I hope you learned something about yourself and other people. You know, one of the funny things about this assignment is oftentimes when people get this and they learn what they needed to learn from the assignment, the thing that they didn't buy that they clarified in the assignment, they go out and buy, and now they have it for themselves. So hopefully that was for you if it was something that you really liked and enjoy. So before we go on to the next session, there are four primary tools of influence that you need to learn and to master. And once you learn them, what you'll do is you'll use them daily and you'll use them automatically, not only for your sales career, but you'll use them in your everyday life. They're tools that'll help you create additional personal power in any situation to help you achieve the results that you're after. And here they are. Tools of influence.
I'd like to share with you what I think are the primary tools through which all the changes you want to make in someone's beliefs or approach to buying occur.